It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host, and we are running a five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. And our guest is District 4 Supervisor Kathleen Half. And thank you for coming in.
Well, it's nice to see you again, Tracy.
And first off, I always like to have the supervisor outline their district so people know where we're talking about.
Okay, great. District 4 is my district, and it's, I believe, geographically the largest district in the county, a lot of square miles. So we'll start up at Rancho Spiquitos, up Highway 108. That's all my district, and come down to the town of Standard, and then coming down further down Mono Way on the Junction side, a Junction Shopping Center side of Mono Way, and then going out Hess and out Tuolumne Road and all the little communities and subdivisions out that way, including Lambert Lake and Curtis Creek ranches, and then down below Lambert Lake into the Limekiln area and out Jacksonville Road onto Chinese Camp and up to Big Oak Flat and Groveland, and finally, last but not least, down to LaGrange and half of Lake Don Pedro.
So it is big.
It's huge.
Wow. And you announced that you would not be running again for re-election. Why did you make that decision?
Well, the decision actually to run and when to retire was made when I first decided to run. And I discussed it with my husband. He's a couple of years older than I am. And we decided then when it was time to retire, we would do that decision together. And this year we started talking about it, and I'll be kind of an old lady if I run a second term. I'd be almost 76. So, and he's older than I am. So we decided it was time.
Right. You made a personal decision.
Yeah.
What do you believe has been your biggest accomplishment to date?
I would say bringing about all the broadband legislation, especially the state one, SB 156. I was instrumental in bringing that about. And I think I talked about that on other shows in the past.
And that was big for a lot of people. Because
That was big for the whole state, not just Tuolumne County. I worked on a committee with the California Association of Counties. There were about 12 of us. And we actually went to the governor's office and made the proposal that eventually became SB 156.
Wow. And how is it being implemented now, or what stage is it in?
Well, it's in all sorts of stages, because we not only have the state plans, but we have the federal plans right now. And I can talk about that a little bit when we go over the 2023 accomplishments. But there's a lot going on with broadband.
And that's good to hear, because for a long time there wasn't.
Yeah. Well, and it's not something you're going to see immediately. So that's why I want to talk about it, so you know what kind of stuff is happening behind the scenes.
Any board decision that you wish would have gone a different way?
Yes. There's one specifically that comes to mind, and that was when our full board did not approve the water consultant that we had the prior year. We had just hired a natural resources and water analyst to carry the torch as far as water strategy for the county. And I wanted to have a mentor for him to learn from, and the board just didn't go for it.
Was it just too costly, or what was the reason?
No, it was not costly at all. In fact, he discounted his rate quite a bit. It was just a very controversial issue to some board members. This consultant is widely known and revered throughout the whole state, and I don't really get it.
What do you feel your biggest accomplishment in 2023?
First of all, when I became chair, we had a chance to do our first legislative platform that we've done in quite a few years. I think when I was on staff, 2007, 8, 9, somewhere in there, we had a legislative platform, but it was like pages long. It was ridiculous. This time we had a chance to really make priorities, which means you don't have 20 or 30 priorities because they're not a priority, right? So we settled on four policy areas, and those were homeowners insurance, roads, homelessness, and water. Those are our four legislative priority areas. And so I thought that was a great way to start the new year. We trade off, this is a two-year platform, and so we trade off between our strategic goals and our legislative platform. So this legislative platform that we developed at the beginning of this year will go for 2 years. And so at the beginning of next year, we'll start again with our goals. We made great headway in all of those. So let's see, if we want to start with homeowners insurance, we had all sorts of supervisors involved. I know Anaya Kirk was involved heavily in this. I was involved with RCRC, the rural counties. I was on an ad hoc committee to come up with some policy recommendations, which we just finalized. I haven't gotten the final paperwork yet, but at the meeting that we had on the 6th of December. We had the benefit. You know, when the ARPA funds came in, there was a separate pot of money specifically for public lands counties all across the United States. We got $5 million for that. Our board decided that we would spend it on roads because we don't get enough money from SB1 to even make a drop in the bucket, so to speak, for our roads. So we spent about $1 million, some more, some less, in each district for roads projects, made it bigger dent than usual, let's say, in the roads department. And homelessness, we went ahead and finalized plans for the Navigation Center, and we're preparing to do a soft opening here pretty soon. We've been working on the construction, you know, getting it ready, because there were lots of things to do to get it ready for our needs. Rather, you know, it was a memory care place before, and it had some construction issues that needed to be taken care of. And then water. And I signed lots of water bills because there were four huge bills in legislation this past legislative year that aimed to take away water rights and rearrange the water rights and give the Department of Water Resources Control Board a lot more control. You know, so those would be the four big areas within our legislative platform that we addressed. Housing was a big thing that we addressed both on the board and off the board, I will say, this year. You probably know, because I think we talked about it before, I'm part of a housing collaborative. It's not a county-centric group. The county is involved. The city's been involved. The tribes are both involved. Contractors, Habitat for Humanity, so nonprofit, for-profit, banking and mortgage, you know, lenders, anybody you can think of that would be involved in some aspect of housing has been involved in this collaborative. And when we first started out, it was last year, 2022, and we had all sorts of outcomes, but one of the best outcomes came to fruition this year. Last year, we said we really need a housing coordinator or a housing specialist. Well, this year, we got our wish, and we hired a housing specialist that works out of CDD. Her name is Tamara Blankenship, and she is doing exactly what we envisioned. She is looking inside the building department, and she has an outside pair of eyes, too, looking as far as the consumer's interests go. And she's been involved in the housing element and been a great part of that we've had to do for this year. So things are going to really start moving as far as housing goes because we've got the right person in place to help with this now.
All right. And we can pick up on this again when we come back in our next segment. But first, we have to take a commercial break. We'll return with more Motherlode Views following a word from our sponsor, Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host, and we are speaking with Tuolumne County District 4 Supervisor Kathleen Half. And we were talking about housing, and I know you had more to discuss.
Yeah, and we were talking about housing and the 2023
accomplishments,
right. So to finish out with housing, one of the last things that has happened just more recently is that Caltrans offered us a piece of property. It was a little over 20 acres up Highway 108, just across from Papa's New Roost, but they said we had to use it for temporary housing or shelter for homeless. And that property is too lovely, too beautiful to have that there. Not to say that it shouldn't be anywhere, but, you know, it lends itself better to workforce housing, and that's the vision I had for it. Now, some people may wonder what workforce housing is. It is housing for your barista, your cashier at the grocery store, your assistant for the, you know, in the schools, in the classrooms, maybe even for teachers. They have jobs, they have families. So it would be housing for those people that are really just priced out of the market right now. And so what happened was when I first met Marie Alvarado Gill, our new senator, I told her we've got this problem. Number one, that the state wants us to use it if we get it, because we had first dibs on it, the county did. We had to use it for temporary shelter for the homeless. Problem one. Problem two, they wanted us to pay market rate for it. And I said, well, we need to pay nothing or maybe a dollar lease for it, you know. And so what happened, long story short, is that her chief of staff called me and he said, well, do you mind if we give you number two before number one, meaning that we pay for it? We find a way to pay for it first, and then we work on how to change legislation on it second. And I said, sure. So what happened just recently was Marie Alvarado Gill put in a request from the state for $155,000 to purchase this property. And I think it was on mymotherlode.com. You posted pictures. So we got this big giant check for $155,000, and it was just recently deposited for that purpose, for buying that property. So the next step will be to go in front of the legislature. She's going to write a new bill, and it won't just be for Tuolumne County. It will be for any county that has leftover Caltrans property that they want to use for something other than temporary shelter for homeless. So I'm going to help her with that, and I'm going to testify, and hopefully we'll get it passed. Hopefully the rest of the legislature will feel the same way, and so we'll be able to move forward with plans.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. And so there's still a lot of hoops to jump through, but, you know, first things first.
There always are, aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah. So another thing that our board has been working on is broadband. And I know we talked about that a little bit in the first segment. My first thing I want to say is that our board hired a broadband specialist this year. Hallelujah. But I was the keeper of all things broadband from my background in broadband, and it's so nice to have somebody on staff that is actually doing the work now. And yeah, his name is Len DeGroot. He's awesome. And he helped me plan a state regional broadband meeting that was held here in Tuolumne County. It was for our whole region, our whole Motherlode region. And we had over 100 citizens coming to that this past year, government officials, state people. And it was pretty well attended. It kind of helped people understand what's before us as far as the broadband build out and also affordability for those who would have a hard time affording it. There are some programs that they can apply for. Let's see.
That's always good to know about.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. But we're in the middle of doing a lot of things that you can't see now. So I wanted to try to put words to what we're doing regarding broadband. We know we're going to have a lot of projects, infrastructure projects to build out, and we don't want to piecemeal them. By that, I mean you have to do an environmental study, an environmental review before you do any project. So a long time ago, we got ahead of this by hiring a consultant to do an environmental study for the whole county.
Nice.
All along the roads. And that is just, the draft is just being finalized right now. So this means that when we have projects, we don't have to say, oh, hold on, let's take a year out and do the environmental study, which I think a lot of counties are going to be strapped with. We did both the CEQA and the NEPA, the state and the national environmental studies, so we won't be hamstrung by that. So
That's great.
Yeah. And then we have middle mile projects and we have last mile projects. The middle mile projects are going to go up Highway 120 all the way to Buck Meadows, and the Highway 108 corridor, it's going to go all the way up to Strawberry. Now, the funding is the deal. The governor's played around with, these maps. And he has promised funding, but now we just got the announcement that there's a big deficit for 2024 in the California budget. But he's promised to, fund these. So we'll see what happens. But the middle mile it's supposed to be open access, which means that any provider, any internet service provider can tap into it, which will provide competition. And what happens when you get competition?
We'll get better prices.
That's right. The prices go down. So we're hoping for lots of competition. And from that, the last mile projects, which are federally funded, will come. And our board just recently gave the go ahead to submit projects for, it has to be for unserved. People that don't get broadband at all, or they don't get up to speeds of 25.3. So those project areas that we submitted for are Chinese Camp, Big Oak Flat, Jamestown, and Columbia. And so we'll go in front of the CPUC and we'll find out in March if those project areas got approved. And that'll be for final mile. And those projects would never be built by a regular internet service provider because they don't pay. It wouldn't pencil out. So we're excited about the prospect of those folks getting better coverage.
And I'm sure those folks are too.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. It has to be approved. And
yes.
And there are other internet service providers also vying for these funds. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the CPUC does on that. And we just got a strategic plan for broadband. It just came in. I haven't had a chance to read it. It's almost 300 pages.
Oh.
Long. So I can't really speak to that right now, but it'll help us in our plans, and it'll come before the Board of Supervisors pretty soon to review. So all those things are, we have to do all these things before anything can be planned and built. So
right.
These are the advanced projects that have to happen. So a lot going on, and I'm really happy to be able to talk about it.
Was there any other? We did housing, water.
Well, broadband. I want to talk about food security. This is not part of the board's priorities. It's my priority, and it will continue to be a priority into 2024. When we had the pandemic, we saw the food chain supply, how it went crazy.
Right.
And our shelves were empty and so forth. We've got a problem here with the meat industry in general, but I am very conscious that we need to secure food for this area, for our Motherlode region, not just produce. And I'm a big fan of farms for Tuolumne County and growing your own food and that sort of thing. But the livestock owners, whether they're cattle, goats, sheep, or pigs, but especially cattle, they have to go other places if they want USDA inspected meats, if they want to process their meats that way. And sometimes they have to be on a waiting list for up to 2 years. Well, guess what? The animal isn't even born yet.
Yeah.
It's really bad. So I got together with another supervisor from Calaveras County, Amanda Fallendorf, and we are working with somebody new to our UC Extension Cooperative. She's a livestock advisor, And her name is Flavie Anduin. And she is heading up this project that we're all involved in. And it's called the USDA Meat Processing Facility for the Mother Lode. It will involve probably four counties at least. It's all the four counties that the UC Extension represents, and maybe some others. And we have just finished a survey that we sent out to all the livestock providers or owners. And so we're going to go from there in 2024 and start making decisions about this facility so we can get it moving.
That's great to hear. Now, we do have to take another break here. But first, we want to hear from our community-minded sponsor, Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Stick with us. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host. We are speaking with Tuolumne County District 4 Supervisor Kathleen Half as we are running our five-part series that involves the individuals on the board. And Kathleen, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, what is the biggest challenge you've had in your district for 2023?
Well, thanks for asking that question. I would say it is by far holding PG&E accountable for providing reliable service. Mm-hmm. They have a big mark on safety. That's their whole theme. But it's at the expense of reliable service, as we've seen through the EPSS events. Mm-hmm. And what Groveland experienced over the 4th of July holiday weekend, nobody should have to experience. So I've been working very patiently with PG&E, and we're making headway. They've actually told me things at the forum. The two forums that they had on October 9th, they've told me things. And I said, I want that in writing because it doesn't exist unless it's in writing.
Right.
And we're finally getting to that place right now. So the result of my holding PG&E accountable, they have introduced new technology called GridScope that is being installed right now on power lines, especially in the Groveland Big Oak Flat area. But my understanding is it's in other areas of the county too. So this will allow PG&E to more quickly identify the location of an issue and restore power faster, and hopefully thereby adding reliability back into the grid, because it's been like a third world country here in some parts of the county.
Oh, yes. We got plenty of calls during that.
Oh, it was awful. So this is a limited pilot project. And so I'm grateful that they are hearing me. I was the board chair this year. And when we had the big agenda item where three of the principals from PG&E came, we grilled them, and the community grilled them, and then I asked for things in writing. Well, finally, things are starting to happen. So I'm expecting more reliability work from PG&E, more specifics, because they've got more planned than just this grid scope. But right now it's going through their attorneys to make sure that it's okay to actually put this in writing. So I should be getting more information shortly on that.
I'm sure that will be welcome for the customers at PG&E.
I have to say, long time coming. Yeah.
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 And then what accomplishments in 2024 are you looking to further or start in the county?
Yeah, it's mostly a continuation of projects that I've already spoken about. Homeowners insurance is top of my list. And like I said, pretty soon I should be able to put out, maybe I'll even do a blog on mymotherlode.com on RCRC, the ad hoc committee that I was on, the recommendations that we're making and what those recommendations mean. Because we just settled on those at our last meeting. So that's more to come on that. Definitely housing for Tuolumne County. You know, we can't increase jobs, and that's not really the purview of the county to add jobs, but it is to provide housing so that jobs can be accepted, because we've had so many people from either Adventist Health or even teachers have to turn away their job offers because they can't find housing. So housing is number one.
Yeah, they don't want to be turning people away.
Right. I hope to continue with the food security project, the USDA meat processing. That's probably at least a 2-year, if not a 3-year project, but I hope to get it to the place where I can button it up and hand it off to another Tuolumne County supervisor by the end of this next calendar year. And so that will there'll be continuity there. And of course, continue following with the broadband and make sure that as a board member for the county that we're moving along as we should be. And continuing to hold PG&E accountable like I just spoke of.
Right, right. I also wanted to talk to you about something that's kind of been voiced in the community. The council voted 4-1 to send the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors a resolution opposing the purchase of two properties within the city limits so that they can be used for homelessness programs. And the city leaders argued that the programs were disproportionately within the city, and they thought there was a lack of transparency. What is your response to that?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I am at least good acquaintances, if not friends, of every single city council member. I admire each and every one of them. We've had some rocky business dealings together. I can't talk about what the specifics are of that have taken over the past year. Before this homelessness thing came on. So that kind of set the tone. And then the homelessness issue came up. And, you know, we have the Navigation Center, which is the first project that we approved earlier this year. And it's not in the city. And we have on our board docket for the 19th of December another large project that will be in Jamestown if it's approved. So, and those are going to take the majority of either the homeless folks, you know, either, you know, the ones that are having services or the ones like the Jamestown facility, they'll be, that's a transitional home. It's not people right off the street. It's people that have been through programs and then are ready to for a 2-year stint if they need it. It's called transitional housing. And then they go on to, you know, their own housing because they're ready. So what I would say to the city council, I have a meeting with the mayor, Mark Plummer, next week. I would suggest and recommend that they become an active partner. You know, they complain that 30% of the homeless is in the city, but they're, you know, partners come to the table with suggestions. Here's what we'd like to do as a city. I'm not hearing that. All I'm hearing is bashing about what the county is doing and not joining in. So I do think that there is room for improvement where we can reach out to them better than we have. Yet then again, partners contribute. They each contribute. So we've got to find that middle ground.
Yeah, it's a two-way street.
That's right.
You need to communicate. That's
right, yeah.
As we're wrapping up here in our time, are you feeling optimistic for the year ahead? And why or why not?
Well, yes, because I've got a lot of things I want to get done and wrapped up. So I'm feeling optimistic and hopeful that I can get my bucket list accomplished. I'll have to say, unfortunate that it's an election year because sometimes you see the crazies come out, you know, on the federal front, you know, because it's a presidential election. And people don't always understand that there's a difference between the federal government, the state government, and local government, and they ball them all together. So, you know, it just brings those kinds of things to a head. And I'm looking forward to really getting some things accomplished in 24 and working collaboratively with not only the board, but the city.
All right. And we want to thank you for joining us today. We got through a lot of accomplishments and what you're still working towards. And that's great for the listeners to hear, and especially those in your district. So thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Tracy.
And now we have to wrap things up on this edition of Motherlode Views, featuring the individual Tuolumne County supervisors with this fourth installment.
And we hope to see you right back here next weekend when we wrap up the series with Supervisor District 3, Anaya Kirk. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.